I want to introduce you to Dr. Emma Shabiris. She's a study investigator from Deakin Child Study Centre in the School of Psychology. That's a very long title. But what she's been doing is looking at the link between sleep or lack of sleep and children with autism. Emma, welcome to Afternoons.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about the trial and what you've been exploring.
So our trial's looking at whether we can improve outcomes for children with autism by targeting their sleep. And in autism, up to 80% of children experience sleep problems. And we know that if you have autism and sleep problems, it just makes everything worse. So it makes concentrating at school harder. It makes children more irritable. So we're looking to see whether improving sleep can improve the broader functioning of children with autism.
Easier said than done.
Yes. So we're testing a program at the moment, which is designed to be, I guess, feasible and practical for parents to incorporate into their busy weeks. So parents of children with autism may have many different appointments. They might see pediatricians, psychologists, speech pathologists. So we've designed a brief program where we see parents for two sessions and we see the children too, and we target the particular sleep problems that are a difficulty in their family and provide them with specific strategies and follow-up to help them to meet their sleep goals.
And what are some of the sleep problems? Because people might not even realise that their child has a sleep problem, and that could be one of the difficulties that they're facing just in, you know, day-to-day life.
One of our major principles is working with families around what they find a problem. So for some families, particular things will be a problem, and for some families, it won't be. So for example, one of the areas that we sometimes work with families on are needing the parent in the bedroom to fall asleep at night. Mm-hmm. Now, for some families, that works really well, and we don't try to change that. But for families that are kind of at their wits' end and really need that time to themselves at night, that's just one example of a sleep problem we might deal with. Other examples are things like anxiety at bedtime, so lying in bed, not being able to fall asleep, thinking about all the difficult things that have happened during the day.
Not being able to shut down.
Yeah, the things that we experience as adults, really. We also deal with behavioural difficulties at bedtime, so children who are in and out of the bedroom for hours and on end, refusing to go to bed. And so the program is unique in that we do this detailed assessment of the sleep problem with families to work out what exactly is the difficulty for that family, and then we provide tailored advice. So it's not a one-size-fits-all program.
What sort of changes are you seeing for families and for individuals that are living with autism once sleep is under control a little bit?
Oh, so at the moment we are testing this program, so we don't know yet whether it is effective, but I'll give an example from another trial that we ran. So we did a trial a couple of years ago looking at a similar program in children with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And there we were looking to see if we target sleep using a similar brief program, could we improve not only sleep but ADHD symptoms, their school functioning and so on. And we found that children had improved sleep up to 12 months later. But importantly, we found that the symptoms of ADHD improved, the behavioural difficulties improved. We also found improvements in things like memory. So they're the kinds of things we're measuring in this trial and we hope to see in this population, but we just don't know yet.
It's interesting, isn't it, when, I mean, it just sounds so sleep, we'll get a good night's sleep, but until you've experienced extreme fatigue and extreme sleep deprivation, you don't realise how much it actually changes your character. You can get angry, sad, you're on an emotional roller coaster, and that's for someone that's, speaking for a friend, and that's for someone that possibly isn't living with ADHD or autism. If you mix those things together, it's going to make it really tricky to know how to come up with just ways to function in a way that you want to and know what is the disorder, what is sleep deprivation, and how to, you know, fix it.
That's exactly right. So if you think about the symptoms that you experience when you are tired, It is distractibility. It is irritability. Mm. So sleep just makes everything worse. And yes, I can also relate to extreme sleep deprivation. It does change your character. So
it does.
We're wondering, you know, if we can help families with some really, you know, specific guidance around sleep, maybe that's one thing that can make family life easier for families of children with autism when they're already dealing with so many complexities. Can we just make this one difference that might help not only the children but the parents to have some time to themselves at night?
I personally don't have a lot of experience with autism. I'm figuring that there must be different levels of autism. Is this open and is this available or something that you think is applicable to all children with all levels of autism?
That's a really great question. This trial is recruiting children with what we call kind of a higher functioning autism. So children that have autism without an associated intellectual disability. But that being said, we're also adapting this program at the moment for children who do have an intellectual disability, so who might be attending a special school, for example. So if any families are interested there, we are piloting a program for that group too. But that study is more in its infancy, but certainly we recognise the importance of reaching the broad spectrum of children with autism, and so we've made a decision to design two different programs to meet the needs of all kids.
And will it be a matter of trial and error? Like once you start it, see what works, what doesn't?
The program will be looking at, we'll be testing the full program. Then at the end we'll be able to see what are some of the things that were particularly important with the program that really helped. We'll ask parents their opinion on what are the things that they liked, what are the things that they didn't like, and so on, to inform future training in this area.
So if people would like to get involved and they think that maybe there's a person in their life that that's relevant for, Emma, how do they best get in contact with you?
Yes. So if anybody's interested in participating, we'll be recruiting for the study until the end of the year. You can contact us on 03 9246 8937.
You're with Dr. Emma Shabira. She's a study investigator from Deakin Child Study Centre in the School of Psychology. I'm going to get you to pop your cans on for me, Emma, because we're going to have a chat to Tula, who just wants to share her story with us. If you just want to pop your headphones on, Dal, and that way you can hear Tula, who's not necessarily asking for advice, but just wants to share her story. Hi, Tula.
Paula.
Sorry, Paula, is it?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Paula. What did you want to say?
Look, I have a child who is high-functioning Asperger's on the autism spectrum. Our battle every day is about bed and going to bed and what is an acceptable time to go to bed. They're smart and they're wily, so they work out everything they can possibly do to start to sort of reignite their nervous energy at the end of the day to keep themselves awake. I mean, physically, we understand that they're not getting the melatonin release in the brain like everybody else does when the sun goes down. So we've even tried melatonin, and then he gets smart to that and realises that capsule that mum's giving me at dinner time, that's the reason why I'm going to sleep. And if I've got to go to sleep, I'm missing out on so much of the day.
So what other things have you tried, Paula, that have helped you sort of get your child to sleep?
There's very little. My only option at the moment is get him out of bed at 5:30 in the morning and deal with him completely exhausted at the end of the day. But there's even times when I put him into bed and he's six and you name it, he can negotiate anything, which is all part of the...
Your six-year-olds are good at doing that.
Yeah, but you try a six-year-old with high-functioning surgeons that's very smart. They can control and manipulate and negotiate anything. That you can be in bed with him, you can have done everything that is calming, a quiet time, read books, no stimulation, no screens, in bed, and you can see their body is physically exhausted and just wants to go to sleep.
Does this sound like it's something... Sorry, Paula, I'm just going to ask Dr. Shabiris a question there. Does this sound like a quite a common
Yeah. So these
situation or nighttime routine.
Yeah. So look, this sounds incredibly challenging and really exhausting. These are the kinds of children that we're seeing in our trial at the moment. And so, you know, as I said, we're testing out these strategies, so we don't yet know, you know, whether the program is effective. But certainly, these were the kinds of problems we saw in our ADHD trial, and did find lasting benefits in terms of sleep and improvements in broader functioning. So I guess if you are interested, it's a brief intervention. Because we're testing it, you can be randomly allocated to either the intervention or to no intervention. But it is brief, so it could be worth a try.
Well, I've popped Paula on hold so that we can get her details, because she might be a candidate with her and her son that can be a part of this trial. Dr. Emma Shabiris is a study investigator from Deakin Child Study Centre at the School of Psychology. We're discussing whether or not improving a child's sleep could bring wide-ranging benefits for children with autism and reducing the severity of their symptoms. How did you get involved in this study, Emma?
So I've been working in the area of ADHD and autism for 13 years now. And I just became really fascinated at the overlap there is in the kinds of experiences you have when you're sleepy and the kinds of challenges that children with autism and ADHD are experiencing. So we conducted a study in 2006, actually, which was the first to show the impact that sleep problems had on the functioning of children with ADHD. And it showed that if you had ADHD and a sleep problem, that everything was much worse, including the family's quality of life. And that led us to develop the intervention, which we then tested in the population of children with ADHD. And that was done through the Murdoch Children's Research Institute. And then we thought, these issues are really relevant for children with autism. Can we adapt it? So you can see all this work has been going on since 2006.
So how can this then almost revolutionise is possibly a strong word, but I'm going to go with it and say it. If it does work, and if we can find a way to try and help these kids sleep, does it then reduce medical intervention and other things that they may be having to take or be a part of to just try and keep symptoms under control a little bit?
Yeah, our hope is that these kinds of practical interventions can be simple ways of improving the lives of children with autism. So, you know, when there are choices between many different interventions, some of which might require, you know, 10 to 20 sessions with a professional, if we can do something really brief, can it just provide that little bit of hope, make things a little bit easier for families? So our goal is that if this is effective, that we can train the people up that see children with autism, so paediatricians,
get it
psychologists,
across the board.
So they can actually use this in their practice with families on the ground to try to make a difference.
So you're seeking Victorian children aged between 5 and 12 who have ASD diagnosis and are experiencing sleep problems to take a part of this trial. Is there anything else they need to know? Does it cost? Do they?
No cost, because it's a research project.
Great.
What we do when we speak with families is do an assessment just to make sure that they're eligible for the project. And that's just done over the phone. So we just have a chat with families just to work out, are the kinds of sleep problems that they're experiencing dealt with within our program? And then we take it from there.
And do you keep in touch with the families then once that initial trial's been done to see how it's going and monitor?
So we love to follow up families for as long as possible because we don't want to just do something that's going to be good for 2 weeks. We want to make sure that this can make lasting differences.
Well, you could potentially change people's lives and entire families' lives. So it's fascinating research. Again, if people would like to get in touch with you, is there a website? What's the best way for people to get in touch with you, Emma?
Yes, so we also have a website. So it's www.sleepingsoundasd.com.au.
Dr. Emma Shabiris, study investigator from Deakin Child Study Centre in the School of Psychology. Thank you so much for joining us on Afternoons.
Thank you for having me.